All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As I am reminiscing with that great Stevie Wonder tune, I want to welcome my classmate from Washington High School. So let me begin like this, Carrie, because I know you don't remember this. Washington, Washington, School of Victory. We are faithful sons and daughters, pledge our loyalty forever. Alma mater, Washington, this a pledge shall be. Alma mater, Washington, School of Victory. Carrie?
Yes. Yes.
So, do you remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do, my dear. Oh gosh, it's I think ingrained in all of our brains.
So, Miss Carrie Houghton, 50 years. What have you been doing?
50 years. Well, 50 years, I have owned for 40 years my own cleaning service, 20 in Milwaukee, and now I live in Florida, which is the Daytona Beach area, and I started it all over again. So that's what I've been doing. And then now I have been running the last, I think, 5 reunions.
Yeah. Look, I got to ask you. What is it that made you step up when none of us would, want to take that on? It's more than a notion to do that.
Yes, well, I just didn't want it to fail because I loved all my classmates. I mean, yeah, you always have that one person you maybe didn't like, but I loved all my classmates in 72, and we got along. I talked to so many of my classmates still, and we all decided nobody wanted to fail, and I'm one of those types of people. I'm a party planner. You know, I can plan a party in a day. You know, so I am one of those brains that's what I like to do, and the older I get, the more I get like that, you know. So I just decided that Dean Kapolis could not do it. He was our class president, that I would do it.
You know, Dean Kapolis, Mr. Everything,
yes.
During, you know,
his wife was very sick. Yeah.
So, you know, you watch these movies and when you're younger about reunions and there's always a guy like Dean Kapolis, who was the president of everything, who was the star athlete. He was in charge of everything, and so those of us like me who was just nobody knew who you were, right? And
right. I was very I could not be a cheerleader or anything like that, but I hung around with Casey O'Keefe and all
Casey O'Keefe, yes, the heartthrob, right? Everybody.
Yes.
All the guys.
And Jim Fuchs and
yeah. You know, I ran into Casey O'Keefe maybe 8 years ago. And I was in the same homeroom with Casey O'Keefe. And
oh, I'll be darned.
And it was really good to see her after all of that time, as it is good to see anyone, because the evil consequences of time. A lot of our classmates are no longer here. And you just realize just how fortunate and blessed we are to still be around, Carrie.
Yes, I know. It's, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I still talk to Casey. I still talk to Jim Cederberg, Jim Fuchs, Tim Haas, all of them. We actually went to Vegas for our 60th birthday party, 4 of us.
Wait a minute. There's something wrong here. You guys were 60 years old already? I'm not.
Oh, get out of here, Earl.
What are you doing? So cool. You're exposing things.
So we went to Vegas, and that's why we kept in touch. And so basically it's all, you know, okay, Carrie. And back then it was Carrie Danielson, you know.
Right.
Carrie Danielson, are you going to do it? And I said, yes, I will do it, you know, and I did it. And I did it from Florida.
Well, you know, I still have friends from back in those times, and you know, the life is so short. You know, you never think of that when you're 18 years old. You never envision.
You don't.
You know, 50 years later, and all of us have been blessed to be around still, because, as I stated before, a lot of us are still not around. But I'm looking forward to it, as I always am. The crowd gets smaller as you get older, and that's just the realities of life. But I would never not think of going when I talk to others, and I say, man, are you going to the reunion? And people say, well, I don't know. And I'm like, man, these are pinnacles in life, right?
Yeah, they are. And if you don't keep that, you lose. I just feel, Earl, that you lose that connection.
Well, there's no question that what you lose is a part of who you are.
Exactly. And I don't like that. I want to. I liked high school.
Anybody?
You know, I mean, I liked it.
Well, it's the best time of your life.
I know it is, because right. it's the memories, Doctors Park, the football games, the wrestling, the basketball, the, you know, tailgates. I mean, all of it.
So
and we had such a good class.
So I remember. So Connor, I remember the cheers during the football games. I play football.
Yep.
Earl, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can. Yay! Oh, all right. I digress.
That was fun, Earl.
I just remember just so much enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, you know, Carrie, you've done all this work, and so there are people within the sound of our voices who don't know, and they've lost touch. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, we reach a large swath with this radio station, and
right.
maybe some of our classmates might be listening. And so when is
and
the,
I right
when is
I,
the reunion?
I want it is October 15th this year, and at 6 o'clock at the DoubleTree in Brookfield. And we are having music and food and cash bar and some memorabilia the alumni people are bringing to sell. So that's coming. And then we're looking at a couple little events before and after. But until we get enough people, we're not going to put those in stone.
You know, Carrie, I tell people constantly that who I am right now was shaped during those years, and we really lived during the time at you know, while we were in school, just a safe time. The world was a good time.
Yes.
You know, we came out of the Vietnam War, and so there was nothing.
Right.
That happened. And so we got to enjoy being young people.
Yes. Yes, we did. We did. And you're right. There was nothing. And it was the best time of my life.
Yeah.
You know, it was the most formidable years you ever would think you would have. And the memories that I have are so vivid still. And when you get together and just shoot the breeze, and that's all it is. And the reunions have been, you know, lesser and lesser. And we really want to make the 50th. a special one because it is the 50th, and I think that should say a lot for us.
Yeah, I think without question, Carrie, it will be. I mean, I know you've been really working hard, and so I'm going to do everything within my power to constantly, while we're building up to this, have you on and talk about it, and the word gets out.
Right.
And we want more and more of our classmates, because you never know, this may be the last time.
And you don't know. And I just think 50th is a awesome, awesome, awesome year. You know, I mean, it says a lot for us. You know, we've reached a milestone, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've got this young man who's my engineer. He's 20 years old. Carrie, he's 20. And
he's 20.
Yeah, 20.
Well, I mean, 21.
I have clothes that are 20 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He just corrected me. He's 20. He's 21.
And,
and I look at him and I'm like, wow. It was not so long ago they called me young man. Hey, young man. Hey, young man, and then in the twinkling of an eye, they're calling me elder.
That's what happens when you become our age. They call us elders.
Yeah. Well, you know, Carrie, I'm really excited about the reunion. I'll certainly do everything within my power to make sure that we get the word out. I mean, I want to see the classmates and. And it's not about what you have and what you're doing.
No.
It's about just being there, right? Nobody's going to ask you if you became the president of the United States.
We don't care where you've been, what you've done. It's that you're still who you are, and we're so great to see you again.
Hey, Carrie, I really appreciate it. You and I will stay in touch. And
what I will do on a text message to you, I will send you the invite so you can just put that out.
I will definitely do it. Thank you very much, my friend. Miss Carrie Howden,
thank you,
all
dear,
the way
and
from
thank you.
Florida. And she's the person.
Sunny and 85.
Yes. we've got 80 today, too. So.
Okay, you know. Good.
But it won't stay long. All right. Thank you very much, Carrie.
No.
We'll talk soon. Got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 is our number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I wanted to... where is this? I certainly don't want to talk about who the next permanent... Jeopardy host is that something you don't even know what Jeopardy is, do you?
No, I've seen Jeopardy. I'm not that young. I know Jeopardy.
Anyway, where is it at? This is something that I wanted to talk about. And here's what I just, man, there's so many things I don't understand. If I don't understand why it's anybody's business, listen to this. This is in today's Newsweek. And So there's a representative, Republican representative. His name is Glenn Thompson, and so he's against same-sex marriage, right? Kind of, he's against same-sex marriage. He and other Republicans clearly want to push this issue. We don't want people, you know, marrying one another because, you know, that's not, we're Christians and we, you know, we're opposed to all those things. So he's one of the guys who speaks out against it. But he went to his son's same-sex marriage several days before. How can you, what do they call that kind of a person? A hypocrite?
I think you got it right there, a hypocrite.
I mean, man, how do you publicly, you're a public figure, and you go out and you say these things, and you know that your son just got married to a man, and you went to his wedding, but then you come out totally opposed to that.
It's like if politicians are more focused on trying to say what's going to rally support in their party.
Well, that's
on what they actually.
So that's exactly what that is.
Exactly what that is.
Yeah, he doesn't mind being a hypocrite, and I don't know if he. I would be afraid, man. Look, man, I'm on the radio, and so if I would do what he just did, and I'm opposed to it, and I'm publicly speaking against it, all those kinds of things, and then they find out that my own son, and not that he's gay, but that you went to his wedding, but everybody else's wedding you're opposed to.
That's so weird.
Man.
Like in the son's position, like imagine your father's there and you know that he just would not want this to happen at all.
Well, Representative Glenn Thompson has come under fire on a social media for attending his gay son's wedding 3 days after he voted against legislation to protect same-sex marriage. Now, how do you hold your head up in the public, right? You know, how do you then go out in the light anymore? And I would be afraid, man, for fear somebody would say, hey, Earl. Hey, man, I'm like, yeah, what? Hey, man, I heard you were against gay marriage. Yeah, I am, man. Hey, didn't your son, weren't you just at your son's wedding? What Glenn Thompson should have done is from this point forward, when he goes out in the public, don't say anything, just nod his head.
I mean, or you can just not be against same-sex marriage, but.
So Thompson and a Republican from Pennsylvania and his wife were thrilled to attend and celebrate their son's marriage on Friday night as he began his new chapter in his life. His press secretary, Madison Stone, said in a statement to Newsweek on Tuesday, the Thompsons are very happy to welcome their new son-in-law into their family. Thompson's son told NBC News that he married the love of his life on Friday, and that his father was there. Wow, I bet the father didn't want people to know that. But anyway, poetic justice that it got out. The wedding came after Thompson on Tuesday joined the majority of the House Republicans voting against the Respect for Marriage Act, which would enshrine marriage equality into federal law. You know, this is a part of things that I just don't get. I just don't understand. I've said it more than once, and I'll say it many, many more times. Whatever people want to do in their own lives, as long as, you know, you're not, you know, doing something to impact and affect children in a way, shape, or form, that's on them. I got enough to worry about my own life and what's happening in it. And that's the way others should be. But we can't help but stick our noses somewhere it doesn't belong. You know, whatever it is people want to do, that's their business. They're in a nation that says they are free. Allow them to be free. You don't have any power yourself other than your opinion that you should keep to yourself about what other people are doing in their lives. That's, you know, that's the wisdom of the years that I've gained. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Or go back and stay. I keep hearing footsteps, baby, in the dark. Oh, in the dark. I'm supposed to do radio, man.
Just start
playing singing. Some great music, man. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. And that music is marinating in my dome, and I and my mouth is not working because I'm listening to the nice music, man. Maybe there are people who are listening who are saying, "Hey, shut up and let the music play." 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk about what it's really a travesty, and if ever there was somebody who should be jailed, it's Steve Bannon. Here's a man who is challenging the government and threatening overthrow of the government publicly. He's doing it in the open. And if he can say these things and get away with these things, and our government doesn't think that, and I understand the rights to free speech, but there's some things that you shouldn't have a right to say. You know, Steve Bannon, he called on 4,000 shock troops to deconstruct the government brick by brick. Let's see. If I'm on these airways, these public airways, and I'm telling people to organize and march against our government, kind of how long do you think it'll be before there's somebody knocking on the door of this radio station? And the onus usher me out with a boot in the rear, you know. But here's a man who is publicly talking about overthrowing the government with his 4,000 shock troops. He's referring to them as shock troops, meaning they're well-armed and willing to take on the government. So, he's back with more incendiary rhetoric against the nation just days after his contempt of Congress conviction. And this is none other than Steve Bannon, a white nationalist that everybody knows about and has known about for a long, long time. One of Donald Trump's riding buddies and one of his friends. And yet he's publicly making these statements after he was held in contempt of court for refusing to testify about the January 6th, what is that called, man? Insurrection. Fresh from a double contempt of Congress conviction. linked to his role in the January 6, 2021 insurrection. Steve Bannon is now calling on 4,000 shock troops to deconstruct the federal government brick by brick. Sounds like a threat to me, man. I don't know how that can be anything other than a threat. He wants to see people stepping forward saying, hey, I want to be one of those 4,000 shock troops. Bannon said on his War Room podcast Monday, this is taking on and defeating the deconstructing the administrative state, he added. Shock troops are assault forces that lead an attack. Suck on it, said Bannon. We're destroying this illegitimate regime. Illegitimate regime, meaning illegitimate government. Bannon's incendiary comments evoked his ominous call the day before the U.S. Capitol riot when he told supporters of then-President Donald Trump on his podcast, all hell is going to break loose tomorrow. We're on the point of an attack. Strap in. Now, you know, the double standards that occur in this nation have to stop. And so you hear the constant gripes about Black Lives Matter and from the right and what they did. And, well, they set the cities on blaze, and the Black Lives Matter people are the most dangerous people who ever came down the pike. Nothing could be further from the truth. The most dangerous people who have come down the pike are people like Steve Bannon, excuse me, and his shock troops, whose plan is organizing every day to overthrow the government militarily. That's what shock troops are. We saw a little bit of it on January 6th. And what should have taken place didn't take place. What should have taken place was there should have been bloodshed all over, you know, the Capitol. No question whatsoever. People who came there to overthrow the government, there should have been a pushback from our military so that the people who thought and still to this day think that they somehow have some juice would never, ever think of doing that again. So because that didn't happen, you've opened the door for people to still believe that they can make that happen. And don't mistake what I'm saying. There are many groups and organizations who are organized in this nation right now to come back and do and finish the job that they started. Really is just the case. And the fact that you got a guy like Steve Bannon who is out in the open having this kind of conversation, not trying to hide anything. Where's the FBI? Where's the CIA? And why does a guy like Steve Bannon get a break? Steve Bannon ought to be locked up. You know, he's going to get some time, but the time that he's going to get is not going to be because of the things he just said. It's because he refused to have a conversation and dialogue with Congress. How can you in the open? These are his words. Here it is. These are his words. He wants to see people stepping forward. Is now calling for 4,000 shock troops to deconstruct the federal government brick by brick. Man, how do you say that and get away with it? I just, you know, America, how does that happen? Well, he's got freedom of speech. Well, he's got freedom of speech in some areas. But he certainly doesn't have freedom of speech when you're talking about overthrowing the government. And that's what he's doing. Why is he not apprehended and locked up? Because that's what he's calling for. And the fact that a man can say those kinds of things publicly and not fear the reprisal of the government is amazing to me. That's really amazing to me that he could say those things out in the public and, again, there not be reprisals. I don't care if he's Steve Bannon. I don't care who he is. He should pay the price for that. And he should be locked up for a long time. The key should be thrown away. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. One thing for sure, Connor, with you playing the music, I won't be nodding out.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man. You know, I've always said that if you want to stay young, hang around young people. So I'm hanging around young Connor. And I'm going to be forever young as he plays that young music. I wanted to talk about now, there's so many things that happened in this country that we don't talk about and that happened, you know, in a vacuum. Here's another one. I've come to accept that I'll likely never own a home. It's not the end of the world, I suppose, but reminding myself it could always be much, much worse is key to rationalizing this. I'm not alone either. You've heard it before. Millennials are the first generation worse off than their parents. And so you come after the millennials, right? You're an X.
Yeah, Gen Z, actually.
Yeah, and then X.
No, X is before millennials.
Oh, X is before millennials.
Yeah, so it goes boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, which are millennials, and then Gen Z, which is anything after 1997, about, so like the 2000s.
After 1997. Yeah. Okay, so.
I'm 2001, so.
You were born in 2001?
21 years old. It's 22.
Come on, man. 2001.
Yep.
Wow. But here's the part of all of this that is so different and so new in your generation that gets the short end of the stick on things. Because there are people who fought for my generation. And that was, you know, parents and who made sacrifices for my generation. And then my generation made sacrifices for that Generation X. Is that what you said comes after us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that Generation X. And it's like that's not, it's like dominoes. And, you know, where you know, the first domino hits and all the rest of them fall. In my lifetime, I've kind of witnessed that from the dominoes all standing erect and no dominoes falling to now the first domino falls and all the rest of them tumble down. That's where we are now in the society, and things that are happening, you almost don't believe they can happen. And here's a prime example. New findings from Pew reveal that around 25% of single-family homes sold in 2021 were purchased by investors. Now, how does it make sense that as people are trying to buy homes, that you allow 25% of those homes to be bought by investors who then go and jack the prices up on the homes?
Yeah, and then resell them for profit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, how is that a good thing, man? Somebody tell me how that's a good thing. While there's a shortage of homes, you know, I get, and this is the truth, at least 4 or 5 times a week, I get calls from people and texts from people who want to buy my home. They call, "Hey, Earl, how you doing, Earl?" I'm like, who is this? "Earl, you know, it's Joe, and I want to talk about buying your house." "Hey, man, I don't know who you are, first off. No, I don't want to sell my house, you know," but it's nonstop. But why is it okay for all these investors to buy up the homes, jack the prices up on people who can't afford to do that? Why is that? I know that's good business, but is that good for the people? So new findings from Pew reveal that around 25% of single-family homes sold in 2021 were purchased by investors, private equity firms, and over 75% of purchases were made in cash. Now, that's good if you're willing to sell your house. If you're in the market for selling your house, there's never been a time as good as this one that just passed if you want to sell your house. But here's the catch. You sell your house for a higher market price than what it's worth, but where are you going to go to live? You now have to go and purchase a house that is overinflated, and you wind up paying more for the house that you're going to move into, even though you got more for selling your house. That same principle holds true now when you go out to buy a new home. And so what has happened is they put the average person behind the eight ball, the young person, the Generation Xer, the Generation Y, who may now be entering into a time when it's time for them to buy their first home.
Honestly, it's kind of weird because I don't even expect personally to own a home until a pretty later part of my life. That's just like what most people my age are just thinking about, like home ownership and then having your own family, having your own separate from what you do for work. It's not very common. I don't really know very many people unless they're getting married or something. So it is a problem. It's a really, really, really huge.
Well, listen, on average, the rent is $2,000.
Yeah, I think the average cost of living in the country is around $3,000, actually. And that's for rent plus everything else. And, you know, you're not going to make that from a $15 an hour living wage.
Yeah.
Like you're not, or minimum wage. You're not going to make that whatsoever. So,
well, you know the tragedy in that, Connor, is you've got people who've worked 30 years making $12 an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've worked and they've done all those things that people ask them to do. And they make $12 an hour. And they're never able to own anything. But that's not just enough. The real issue is, you know, when they become old enough for Social Security,
yeah.
You know, and your Social Security amount is tied into how much you made. So if you didn't make a lot of money during your lifetime and your lifespan, You don't expect to get a lot of it back when it comes to Social Security. And I've been talking about this for a long time, and I haven't gotten anybody to chime in on it yet. But all these people, man, of my age and my generation who are retiring and who don't have pensions and who are relying on Social Security and Medicare, and it's going to be rough.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you had Andrew Yang talk about universal basic income. That's a very, you know, popular idea to fix this issue, at least in the short term. Right, because this is like a very, very current. I mean, you have two issues happening at the same time, right? You have what you're talking about, and then you also have young people not being able to enter into the marketplace, or not being able to have a lot of assets, right? And so these are two very, very big issues. But they're being worked, right? Tremendously, right? They're being worked, like you said, $12 an hour, $15 an hour, 40 hours a week, constant amounts of work.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone. I mean, I was reading some studies earlier, I think directly from Pew, I'm not really all too sure, but talking about how human happiness and then direction and purpose actually makes it so people are a lot more productive, right?
Most
places, I think we were also talking about this earlier with unions and such, like at places, at work establishments where unions have more of a cohesive community, right? And there is more of a purpose. People tend to actually work a lot more versus places where they feel like they're being... The company culture isn't more altruistic. Beside a place like Amazon, that only works because everyone uses Amazon, you know. But
Amazon, man, it doesn't work because they don't want long-term employees.
Exactly. Their system is so well designed, right, to where they can literally replace it with automation, with a literal machine, and nothing changes.
But they're always going to need some human beings. But the problem is there's such heavy turnover, and that's what they want. They don't want long-term employees who will accumulate benefits and other things. And the problem with that model is that along the way, they're not going to be able to find enough people to keep replacing.
Yeah,
those people. So anyway, man, hey, thank you, Connor, as always. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Our phone lines are always open at 844-967-2789. Enjoy the day and Connor, great music. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you later.